Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Dunkin' Nomination conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during a question-and-answer session. To register to ask a question, you may press the star and one on your touch-tone telephone at any time. Please note today's call may be recorded, and I'll be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Ms. Christine Lucius, the Executive Vice President of Policy at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today to discuss the nomination of Stuart Kyle Dunkin, President Trump's extreme right-wing judicial nominee to the Fifth Circuit. Since we have a limited amount of time with our congressional leaders today, I'll turn it over to Senator Patty Murray of Washington, Assistant Democratic Leader, to get us started. Senator Murray?
Well, thank you, Christine, for organizing this and all you're doing. I have reviewed Mr. Dunkin's record, his cases, the causes that he chose to pursue, and his public statements, and I am strongly opposed to his nomination to serve on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. We should not be giving a lifetime appointment to someone with such a long record of working on the wrong side of women's rights, LGBTQ rights, and civil rights. When it comes to women's reproductive rights, in the infamous Hobby Lobby case where he served as lead counsel, he argued that an employer has the right to interfere with a woman's personal health care choices. In Texas, he filed a brief in favor of abortion restrictions that would have shut down the vast majority of clinics in that state. In my home state of Washington, he filed a brief arguing that pharmacies should be allowed to refuse to fill birth control prescriptions for ideological reasons. When it comes to the rights of same-sex couples, he has argued against letting same-sex parents change their child's birth certificate or have parental visiting rights. He has defended same-sex marriage bans in Louisiana and Virginia. He said if the Supreme Court struck down bans on same-sex marriage, the harms would be, and I quote, severe, unavoidable, and irreversible. After the court did recognize same-sex marriage as a fundamental right, he said the decision raised questions about the legitimacy of the court. When it comes to the rights of transgender people, Mr. Dunkin fought for the intolerant, harmful bathroom ban in North Carolina by relying on bogus testimony from a self-proclaimed expert who suggested that transgender people are delusional. He fought against a young boy in Virginia who simply wanted his school to allow him to use the men's restroom by advancing the offensive and discredited conspiracy theory that schools need to fear athletes pretending to be transgender for competitive advantage. When it comes to civil rights, after the Supreme Court ruled that mandatory life sentences for minors were unconstitutional, Mr. Dunkin argued the ruling shouldn't apply retroactively. Before the Supreme Court wrote a decision noting the overcrowded prisons in California had caused needless suffering and death, Mr. Dunkin argued they weren't a violation of the Eighth Amendment's ban on cruel and unusual punishment. In Louisiana, he defended the district attorney's office against an innocent man who wanted accountability for a mistake that left him on death row for 14 years. In North Carolina, he argued for a racially tailored voter ID law that the court struck down for targeting African Americans with, quote, almost surgical precision. Any one of the many cases Mr. Dunkin has chosen to take should raise alarm. Any one of the ideological arguments he has made should cause concern. All of them together paint an unmistakable picture of a nominee who would not uphold civil rights, LGBTQ rights, or women's rights. So to paraphrase one of his own statements, if confirmed, I believe the damage Mr. Dunkin will do to people by putting his ideology over their rights will be severe, unavoidable, and irreversible. So I strongly oppose his nomination.
Thank you so much, Senator, for your leadership and for joining us today. Next, we'll hear from Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, a distinguished member of the Judiciary Committee.
Hi, Christine. Thank you so much for organizing this call, for what you do at Leadership Conference, and for the folks who've joined today. I just will frankly largely agree with and echo the points made by my friend and colleague, Senator Patty Murray, who's our assistant Democratic leader. Having reviewed Stuart Kyle Duncan's record, he is the sort of nightmare candidate who we are seeing all too often. He's been nominated, as you know, for the Fifth Circuit. He's a very young man at 45 years old to be a circuit court judge. If confirmed, he would represent Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas. That's 35 million Americans. And I did not vote for him in committee because of elements of his writing, his speaking, his principles, his views that I am convinced do not uphold the constitutional rights of all Americans. As you've heard Senator Murray also reference, he has a long history of supporting LGBTQ discrimination, not just of questioning legal theories, but of speaking out actively against the Supreme Court's decision in Obergefell that honored through due process and equal protection same-sex couples' rights to have access to marriage. He decried that particular decision as an abject failure. He also was an active litigant in the HB2 bathroom law in North Carolina and has characterized transgender individuals as having psychological pathology and has said many other disturbing things about transgender rights, about same-sex marriage, and about the legal theories underpinning what have been, I think, significant advances in these two areas. He's also spoken not just about denying access to reproductive rights, but about contraception access, and in a variety of settings has spoken about contraception in ways that I think underpin the reasoning of the Hobby Lobby case, that allowing access to contraceptives and choice makes a private corporation, quote unquote, complicit in their employees' healthcare choices, which I think is a truly pernicious legal doctrine that stands on its head, a long-standing view in the United States and on our Supreme Court and our circuit courts that individuals have rights in terms of access to contraception and reproductive health choices, to instead privilege corporations' rights, a legal fiction, a corporation, over the rights of actual individuals, I think defies common sense. Last, he's got a record on voting rights that's alarming. As you all, I'm sure, know that the Fourth Circuit found that North Carolina's voter ID law was one that targeted African Americans with surgical precision in order to deny voting rights. Mr. Duncan represented the state of North Carolina in its cert petition in this case. And after the Fifth Circuit struck down Texas's voter ID law, Mr. Duncan filed an amicus brief arguing the lower court unconstitutionally took from citizens, and I thought this was striking, the right to, and I quote, regulate their elections free from unauthorized micromanagement by unelected federal judges, unquote. We can disagree about sort of legal principles and approaches, but the consistency with which he has vocally stood up against voting rights and vocally opposed what he views as unconstitutional interference by federal judges in the enforcement of voting rights suggests to me a suspicion on his part of the entire undertaking of trying to use federal law and federal courts to ensure fair access to the ballot for people who are either racial minorities who have a long history of being discriminated against or others who I think because of voter ID laws are increasingly being denied access to the ballot box. So there's a whole series of things littered throughout his record. That's just a brief tour of a few of them that left me with grave doubts about his willingness to uphold established constitutional rights for all Americans. And I will vote against him, and I will speak out against him. And I just wanted to express my gratitude for everybody on the call for what you're doing to try and make sure that people with deep experience in conservative culture wars rather than a diverse and apolitical legal practice, not be rapidly elevated to a court as important as the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. I'll remind you, if Kyle Duncan were confirmed, that he will be setting policy on core matters, both constitutional and legal, for roughly 35 million Americans, and then through the Supreme Court for all of us. So I think this is a particularly important nomination for us to be speaking out against. Thank you for the chance to participate today in the call.
Thank you so much, Senator Coons, for your leadership. Now we'll hear next from Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, another distinguished member of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Thanks so much, and thanks to everyone joining us on this call, particularly the advocates for justice and civil rights and civil liberties who have been so steadfast. None is more important than the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. Thanks for organizing this call, and thanks to Christine Lucius for your great work at that organization, and for all of us as members of the Judiciary Committee for your extraordinary and distinguished work as a member of our staff. Let me make a couple of general points as a litigator and a past prosecutor who cares so deeply about our federal courts. The United States Court of Appeals, for most Americans, is the last stop on the road to justice. It is the last stop because, as you well know, the Supreme Court takes only a fraction of the cases where certiorari is sought or where an appeal is brought. And the Court of Appeals, for them, is the face and voice of justice. It's not only for those millions of Americans within the jurisdiction of the Fifth Circuit, but, in fact, for millions of other Americans across the country who seek justice in the Fifth Circuit, no matter where they live, or who are impacted by the decisions that come from the Court of Appeals, which have nationwide implications. This position is supremely important. The second point I want to make is that in many ways, Kyle Duncan, unfortunately, and tragically, is really typical of a lot of the Trump nominees for the courts. First of all, let me just give you a couple of statistics. He is a white male. As of March 2018, the White House had named 87 judicial nominees. 92% of them are white. 77% are male. Just one nominee out of those 87 is African American. That is a travesty and a tragedy for this great country. The federal courts are in danger of no longer looking like America. The Senate confirmed 12 circuit court judges in 2017, the most circuit court confirmations in the first year of any presidency since the circuit courts were created. So since day one, the Trump administration has made attacking basic civil liberties a guiding principle of the policies it supports, inexcusably turning back the clock on progress that has been made in terms of the way the courts look, and in terms of the policies of judges. Kyle Duncan is right out of their playbook. But Kyle Duncan is, in some ways, almost a caricature of their judicial philosophy. On a number of these issues, these judicial nominees have been unacceptable because they have been against women's health care and reproductive rights, or because they have been against civil rights and liberties, or because they have been against gay rights or transgender rights, or because for other reasons they've been unqualified. Kyle Duncan checks all of those boxes. It's not just one. He is almost a caricature, a Saturday Night Live caricature of the judicial nominees that have come from this administration. I've said that the judicial nominees have been legal Neanderthals, and Kyle Duncan is straight out of the Stone Age. He is not only out of the mainstream, he's out of the stream completely. He's at an extreme that is unacceptable for our nation's courts, not to mention the Court of Appeals. So I could go through, in effect, all of the aspects of your record, of his record that you have heard from my colleagues. I am going to oppose him on the floor. His nomination is expected for a vote this afternoon, probably around 3 p.m., so the time has grown short. But essentially, Kyle Duncan has fought to undo victories that we've won on civil rights and civil liberties. He's attacked the rights of the transgender community to be safe in our schools. He's attacked protections for Dreamers, making it harder for them to obtain documentation as simple as driver's license. Over and over, he's attacked women's rights and women's health care. Like so many of the Trump nominees before him, he's been an anti-choice zealot who's shown time and again that he's more concerned about pushing personal ideology than upholding the Constitution. He's fought to undo health victories that we've won through the Affordable Care Act's birth control mandate, and he's attacked the birth control mandate itself repeatedly. He's absurdly denied that contraception is not health care at all, and that the idea of contraception as a right is, and I quote him here, disturbing, in quotes, disturbing. Whatever Kyle Duncan may believe, birth control is health care, and a woman's ability to access it is a right. It should be made affordable. And in spite of his false, ideologically driven assaults on abortion providers, on other rights of transgenders, minorities, African Americans, in terms of basic justice and voting rights, I have faith that our courts will adhere to those basic principles that have made us the greatest nation in the history of the world. I'm going to vote against them, and I'm going to be urging my colleagues to do the same. Thank you again for giving us this opportunity to make the case against Kyle Duncan as a nominee for the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. I've appeared before the Fifth Circuit, and I have tremendous respect for the judges who are there. He is unworthy to be on that court. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Senator Blumenthal, for your leadership and for your comments today. Next, we'll hear from Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton of the District of Columbia, who's the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus Judicial Nominations Working Group.
Well, I apologize. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I apologize that I am in my car coming back from a meeting. But I do want to say that the Congressional Black Caucus wrote a strong letter detailing almost all of what has been said here today. We stand, of course, as the bulwark for the African-American community, but we are particularly alarmed by the across-the-board abhorrence that this nominee shows to the rights of people who are not like him in some way. So I'm sorry that I don't have access to my notes, but frankly, candidly, they would have little to add to what my colleagues on the Senate have said. I'm not sure of what we can do because it's going to be up to them, but I must say we are increasingly alarmed that Trump's nominees are getting to the floor and are eternally grateful to the Democrats in the Senate for slowing that process down. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Congresswoman Holmes-Norton. The CBC letter that you referenced, the leadership conference has just tweeted it out to make sure more people see it, so we really appreciate your efforts with that. And I want to thank all the members who were able to join us this morning. As I mentioned earlier, I'm Christine Lucius with the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. For the next portion of this call, we're honored to be joined by several of the civil rights leaders who have been shining a light on the threat that Mr. Duncan poses. Rachel Tiven, CEO of Lambda Legal, Derek Johnson, President and CEO of the NAACP, Marge Baker, Executive Vice President for Policy and Program at People for the American Way, Nan Aaron, President of Alliance for Justice, Mara Kiesling, Executive Director of the National Center for Transgender Equality, and Andrea Santino, Legislative Staff Attorney at MALDA. First, I just want to say just a few words, and then I'll pass it on to Rachel. Yesterday's Senate invoked cloture on President Trump's nominee to the Fifth Circuit, Kyle Duncan, and we expect a confirmation vote in the next 24 hours. Duncan's the latest in a long line of deeply disturbing Trump judicial nominees. At his hearing, Senator Kennedy from Louisiana told the Senate Judiciary Committee that he initially had concerns about Mr. Duncan because Duncan is a Washington, D.C. lawyer and hadn't lived in Louisiana for years. But Mr. Duncan's real home is on the far-right fringe. He's led a right-wing movement to diminish LGBTQ rights, including the rights of transgender children and the right to marriage equality. He's worked to undermine DACA and remove protections from Dreamers. And he has defended the monster voter suppression law in North Carolina, which a federal appeals court struck down and called, quote, the most restrictive voting law North Carolina has seen since the era of Jim Crow, end quote. Our communities deserve to have their cases heard by judges who are fair and open-minded, not by ideologues fighting a culture war and carrying water for this president. These are lifetime appointments who will serve long after the Trump administration is a distant memory. At the Leadership Conference, we're joining forces with our partners on the call today and our coalition of more than 200 organizations to defend our courts and our democracy. The Senate is a crucial part of this effort. Together, we're urging the Senate to reject Trump's extreme nominee like Mr. Duncan. Now I'll turn it over to Rachel Tiven, CEO of Lambda Legal. Rachel?
Thank you, Christine, and thank you so much to the senators and to Congresswoman Holmes-Norton who are here today. This is really just the only thing to say about Kyle Duncan is that he is a lawyer who is distinguished only by his hostility to civil rights. His career is one long grudge match against women and lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. And he has lost. He kept losing those matches. And now, as we have seen over and over again, the Trump-Pence administration is moving to make him a referee. And our civil rights groups together have been publicizing Mr. Duncan's record for months. The legislators on this call and so many others have told their colleagues why he is unfit. And so every senator who votes for him knows exactly what they are choosing. And they will be accountable for the decisions he makes on the bench. Lambda Legal will be watching. We will monitor Kyle Duncan's decisions if and when he is, in fact, seated on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And we will make sure that everyone knows what their senators voted for. And Lambda Legal will keep defending the millions of LGBT people and our loved ones who live in the Fifth Circuit, in Texas, in Louisiana, and in Mississippi. And we will keep suing. We'll keep suing states. We'll keep suing private actors who discriminate in those states. And we will never give up because the law is on our side. Thank you very much to everyone who's here today.
Thank you, Rachel, and to your staff, too, for helping us prepare this call today. We really appreciate it. Next, we'll hear from Derek Johnson, President and CEO of the NAACP. Derek? Derek, you may be on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Go ahead. Thanks.
Great. Good. Thank you. Not to repeat what has already been stated, as I agree with all of the statements so far, but I want to amplify that this fight is important for the NAACP, but it's personal for me as a resident of the state of Mississippi. The Fifth Circuit has always been ground zero for the civil rights movement. as 44% of the residents of the Fifth Circuit are communities of color, this appointment will have a drastic impact on civil rights moving forward. Cal Duncan is the last person who should be considered for this court. He has absolutely no respect for the progress that we've made in civil rights law. Instead, he has made a career of undermining those rights in every way, shape, and form. If there's an opportunity to roll back advancements that we've had, Duncan shows up. He has tried to reverse civil rights across the South, whether it was voting rights, criminal justice, immigrant rights, LGBTQ rights, and the rights of women's health. He is on record concerning voting rights. Let me just cut to the chase. If this Senate approved this nominee, it would set in stone the reality that this presidency and this Senate is willing to roll back the clock. We should not stand for this. I hope the press would take note and amplify what is happening with this nominee. He is a throwback to the 1950s. If the president's theme of making America great again is the reality of making America segregated again, this is a nominee that would do that for this country. We oppose Cal Duncan to the Fifth Circuit, and we stand with all of our coalition partners on the phone to amplify the need for the Senate not to confirm this nominee. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Derek, for your powerful remarks. Next, we'll hear from Marge Baker, Executive Vice President for Policy and Program at People for the American Way. Marge?
Hi. Thanks so much, and thank you again to all the senators who were able to join us today and to Congresswoman Norton and to my colleagues who are joining us on this call. Duncan's record of hostility to immigrants, to LGBTQ people, to voting rights, to the ability of women to gain access to health care are absolutely disqualifying for a lifetime seat on the federal bench, and we vehemently oppose his nomination. This is one of the most toxic nominees that President Trump has advanced, and he absolutely should not be confirmed. One of the things I want to, it's been mentioned, but his representation in the Hobby Lobby case was he essentially took the position, as several speakers have noted, that corporate bosses have the right to impose their own religious views on their employees' health care choices. This reasoning has enormous, enormous implications for the use of religious liberty as a sword to discriminate against others, not as a shield for personal liberty, and is something to be extraordinarily troubled by. The other thing I want to just focus on a minute is the arguments that are made that Kyle Duncan is just being a lawyer and representing his clients. And I think there's several aspects to that need to be addressed. First of all, he's not just an attorney merely representing clients who walk through his door. He's a movement lawyer, as you can tell from all of the speakers who have gone before me. He's a movement lawyer driven by ideologically driven positions. Indeed, his entire legal career has been as an advocate for ultra-conservative causes. Moreover, some of the things he put in his filings, like the demeaning language and junk science about trans children being delusional, are offensive and beyond the bounds of zealous advocacy. So essentially, what we have here is someone who is not just a lawyer representing clients. He is a movement lawyer with an agenda that needs to be, that cannot be seen in his serving as a lifetime nominee to our federal courts. Is it reasonable to expect that any woman seeking to exercise her constitutional right to make her own reproductive choices, or any same-sex couple seeking protections against discrimination, or any parent of a transgender child, is it reasonable to expect that any of those people entering his courtroom would get a fair hearing from Kyle Duncan? Absolutely not. This nomination has to be defeated, and we will work as hard as we possibly can to defeat the nomination and to hold those accountable who are supporting the allowing Kyle Duncan to serve a lifetime seat on the federal courts. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marge, for your leadership. Now we'll hear from Nan Aaron, President of the Alliance for Justice.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to join this call with distinguished senators and Eleanor Holmes Norton and friends from our civil rights community. I'm Nan Aaron, president of Alliance, and just want to make sure people are aware that AFJ has prepared a report on Kyle Duncan's background, which is available at afj.org. I wholeheartedly agree with everything that's been said so far. I'd like to put this nomination in an important and a broader context. We are not only raising the alarm about the vote on Duncan, but about what is happening to the entire Fifth Circuit in the Trump administration. As Donald Trump continues his efforts to pack the courts with individuals who will implement his agenda, Duncan joins a list of other nominees, two already confirmed, whose dedication to undermining the rights and liberties of others is their most notable characteristic. Sadly, these people are being nominated to serve in a circuit that encompasses states with high percentages of people of color and people living in poverty, communities that already face pervasive discrimination. If all five are confirmed, this circuit will be a place where millions of people whose rights are already under attack under this administration will have one less avenue to pursue economic, racial, and reproductive justice. Trump's choices for the circuit include people like Don Willette, who's adamantly opposed to health and safety regulations, who doesn't think a glass ceiling exists for working women, and who belittled LGBTQ people on Twitter. Willette has already been confirmed. They include people like Andrew Oldham, the lawyer behind the Texas scheme to block the expansion of DACA to additional Dreamers and to parents of U.S. citizens or green card holders, a strategy that hurt immigrant families across the country. Oldham is awaiting a confirmation hearing. Duncan joins a list of other nominees, two already confirmed, whose dedication to undermining the rights of others is their most notable characteristic. He fits right in with these people chosen by Donald Trump to sit on the Fifth Circuit. So we at AFJ are adding our voice to the chorus of voices opposing Duncan and also calling attention to the severe risks posed by a Trump takeover of the Fifth Circuit, a circuit that's already leaning ultra-conservative and now could become an extreme outlier within our justice system. We are asking senators to remember the real people living in the Fifth Circuit when they cast their votes on Duncan and to vote no on this nomination and others that threaten to make this circuit a hostile and unwelcoming home for millions of its residents. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nan, for highlighting the threat that's being posed to the Fifth Circuit and echoing Derek's point that the Fifth Circuit is ground zero for civil rights. It's important that Nan mentioned that the Oldham hearing is happening in the committee tomorrow, another Fifth Circuit nominee. Next, we'll hear from Mara Kiesling, Executive Director of the National Center for Transgender Equality. Mara?
Thank you so much, Christine. Hello, everybody. I'm Mara Kiesling with the National Center for Transgender Equality. And I'm just thankful for everybody who's spoken today, the senators, the advocates, et cetera. And I want to follow up on what Nan just said. We are really absolutely seeing this one alarming characteristic among judicial nominees in this administration, and it is hostility to civil rights. It's hostility to LGBT people. It's hostility to trans people and to women. And what is very clear is it is not a bug in the system. It is a feature. It is being done intentionally and is going to have ramifications for years. While elections have results, and we understand that, there are nominees like Kyle Duncan who are among the most extreme and the most toxic for Americans. And we rise up because of that, because they are the worst of the worst. So I am speaking to you today because of the danger Kyle Duncan will pose if confirmed as an appellate judge in the Fifth Circuit. Mr. Duncan has made an entire career out of opposing the equal rights of LGBT people in our country. He began his career at the Beckett Fund, which is a far-right creator of anti-trans propaganda. As a founding partner of the law firm of Sher Duncan, he defended the hateful law in North Carolina, HB2, that would bar transgender people's access to equal and fair public accommodations. He fought against the rights of trans students all the way to the Supreme Court in the case against young Gavin Graham. In both cases, he stood against the consensus of the medical community and claimed being transgender was no more than what he called delusional. Despite progress made at the federal and state levels in recent years for trans people, we still face horrific rates of discrimination and abuse on campus, in the workplace, in hospitals, in the military, and in prisons. And these systematic inequalities that allow for these abuses must be settled by fair-minded judges holding firm to the law, not ideologues like Kyle Duncan hoping to rewrite the law with their own biases and contempt for others. Given his record of really obsessive cruelty towards transgender people, it is impossible for us to believe Duncan would serve as an unbiased judge with any sense of objectivity. So we call on all senators to join us in fighting for equality and fairness, not narrow-minded dogma, and to vote no on Kyle Duncan and reject the bias and hatred that seems to be flooding our court system now. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mara, for your leadership. Next, we'll hear from Andrea Santino, legislative staff attorney at MALDEF.
Good morning. My name is Andrea Santino. I'm a legislative staff attorney with MALDEF. As the Latino legal voice for civil rights in America, MALDEF opposes the confirmation of Kyle Duncan to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. MALDEF is also the chair of the National Hispanic Leadership Agenda, NHLA, a coalition of 46 of the nation's preeminent Latino organizations. NHLA similarly opposes Mr. Duncan's confirmation and urges all senators to vote no. Mr. Duncan's career dedicated to undermining the protections of vulnerable communities, particularly the civil rights of LGBTQ Americans, demonstrates that he is not suited for a lifetime appointment to the federal bench. Mr. Duncan repeatedly advocated against marriage equality and the potential effect it might have on private entities being subjected to anti-discrimination laws. He argued that same-sex marriage would imperil civil peace. He characterized the Supreme Court's decision to legalize same-sex marriage as inventing rights. Furthermore, Mr. Duncan's close relationship with Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, a legal advocacy organization that the Southern Poverty Law Center has labeled a hate group, raises serious concerns about his ability to fairly administer justice. Mr. Duncan's ties to ADF and its despicable agenda to criminalize homosexuality, defend sterilization of transgender individuals, link homosexuality to pedophilia, and to characterize homosexuality as a threat to Christianity and society are all of grave concern to MALDEF and to NHLA. Mr. Duncan received grant money from ADF and has served as an allied attorney in their work, which can include taking on pro bono cases. Judges must fundamentally believe in the civil rights of all Americans, and that includes all the rights of all marginalized communities. His personal statements and his personal efforts to actively undo or to fight against the civil rights of Americans show that he cannot be an impartial arbiter of justice. And such a plain record of bias and prejudice should disqualify Kyle Duncan from ever serving on the federal bench. Mr. Duncan's work to undermine the most basic human rights of LGBTQ Americans is inexcusable. And so NHLA strongly urges every single senator to vote no on his nomination.
Thank you, Andrea. Now we'll open it up for questions to the civil rights leaders who are still on the call. I would note, unfortunately, that the members were unable to stay on for questions, but you can, reporters can certainly follow up with their offices should you have inquiries for them. Operator, can you please provide instructions for reporters? And for reporters, can you please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker? Thank you.
Certainly. As a reminder at this time, it is the star and one if you would like to ask a question. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. And again, we'll go star and one. We'll go first to the line of Chris Johnson from Washington Blade. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for holding this call. This question is for really any speaker who can answer. The cloture was invoked on Kyle Duncan last night by a vote of 50-44. So I believe that means in order for the confirmation to fail, one of those senators has to change their votes. Do you see any signs of that happening by the confirmation vote today? Is there can you hear me?
Sorry. This is Christine Lucius. I can respond that I don't know if any senator will be switching their vote, but there are some senators who vote for cloture and don't necessarily support confirmation. Because as you know, cloture is a procedural vote which cuts off debate. So we will have to see in the next 24 hours, what could change in terms of that vote tally.
Yeah, Christine, this is Mara Kiesling. If I could add to that, it wouldn't really be a vote switch, Chris. There are some senators who do see it as a statement of how they're going to vote, but some don't. And this happens all the time where senators will say, I'm the kind of person who believes we should end debate and go to the floor, but I'm going to vote against it. So that's the folks we would look for. And I actually don't know who those are in this case. I'm not saying there aren't those. I just don't know who they are. But it wouldn't be a switch for some people.
Thank you.
And again, that is the star and one if you'd like to ask a question. And it does not appear we have any further questions at this time.
Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone for joining us today. We'll be posting audio from today's call later. If you have any questions in the meantime, please reach out to us. We can be reached at press@civilrights.org. Thanks, everyone, for participating.
Thanks, all.
Thank you.